Are we recording?
Yes, we're recording an episode. So look at us. Look at us be great. Who am I? That'll do that. Who am I? I am Sky from the Southwest Atlanta. Wait, hold up. I am Southwest Atlanta fresh. Now I got beach decor. So I'm Southern California blessed. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sils. V8 all day, two up, two down. You know what it is. Chilling in the P&W where it's warmer and windier. So, yeah, damn. trying to dodge this icebox where my heart used to be.
Okay, and we are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
And so, what are we doing this week? What are we saying this week?
So this week, we're talking about Black player movement within the NWSL and outside of it. So some players were on the move.
And then we are talking about the NWSL and women's soccer, the Welsh South shenanigans.
Shenanigans. And there's a lot of them. And then, as always, we're going to bring you our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week. So keeping it short and sweet.
Yeah, there we go. So let's get into it. So, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. All right. So, since we were gone, since Christmas, well, since we was on break, we weren't even on break.
We didn't take a break.
We didn't really take a break. We've been here. And then we have other stuff we'll get into later. But let's see. Since the break, we had several people make moves.
Yes.
So while Lynn Williams was in Australia dunking on people's foreheads,
it came
clear that there was a trade where...
And
snacks
is back together. I think
snacks came back together. When that little tweet from Kansas City dropped, I was like, these motherfuckers got Lynn Williams.
Yeah.
And then, they got Lynn Williams.
I love thinking of Sam Lewis as like some diabolical scheming genius. This is hilarious to me.
But yeah, she moved. Was it a drop? No. So she moved with $200,000 sent to
the Courage,
North Carolina Courage, and they sent Katie
Bowen back. My fault, Bowen. It's not Katie Bowen, right?
It's Kaylin
McLeod. No, that's the wrong goalkeeper. No.
Kaylin Rowan.
She played for the Courage. They sent
Kaylin Rowan.
Yeah. And then she came in the Hamilton trade and then they
sent her back.
So Carolina and Kansas City seem to have traded several times over the past year. So that's
Kansas City is like effectively basically North Carolina Midwest
2.0.
And then as a result, Darian Jenkins ended up leaving Kansas City and going to Orlando.
I would take her back, but no, she's down in Orlando now.
She went to Orlando.
Yes. And
it was like, why is that? Why
did Darian Jenkins go to the Orlando Pride?
Yeah, why did that happen?
Well, we got some news this week, or last week, sorry. Good Lord, see? We got some news late last week that one of Orlando Pride's top draft picks, Mia Fishel, has opted not to play in the NWSL and instead is now a member of Tigres.
Our team.
Right. I'm saying Tigres had a few blows this past offseason.
Caddy out here scoring goals for America's
Maria.
Anyway.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
We back up. And that's what
we back up. But yes.
And then we had another announcement today, and I know I'm gonna say this good sis's name incorrectly, so I'm gonna work on practicing. Mia Guau is Duke alumni, and she was just signed by Wabe FC. And I'm always gonna call them Wabe FC.
Yeah, they are Wabe until they unwabe themselves.
They should just embrace it.
There's no way they're Wabe, the Wabe FC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she went to San Diego. Also, how much
Look at them getting.
Does that bring the diversity? Does that get a
diversity a and a midfielder? Look at that.
Oh, look at that. Okay. So you're not going to run a 505.
So now they got like two midfielders. That's fine.
So they're not going to order 505.
Yeah, they got that one.
She gonna we will order. Discuss that foolishness at yeah. a later date.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into the next situation, which is the NWSL.
Yes.
Shenanigans.
And there's a lot of shenanigans, but we wanted to, of course, dig up the player movement first.
Yep.
So yeah, some stuff has happened since the last time we recorded our happy mm-hmm. episode.
Well,
so we were like, ooh, where should we start? Since it's going to be a short episode, because there's been so much. But yeah. we decided to start in North Carolina. Damn, man.
So North Carolina used to be hated. The underdog courage.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Including... you thought it was getting better because even as they were losing players, right. you're like, they're getting young players. You got Jorian, you got Brianna.
We were rooting for them.
Playoffs. We were like, yeah, they were getting cooked. Like they had issues all over the place, but then they kind of fixed them in the offseason. So it's like, we out here.
Right.
And then
they were like, well, people like us a little too much. So we got to fix that real quick.
So what did they do?
They decided to bring on a person who I would argue is responsible for a good amount of the ill will that many people feel toward North Carolina Courage, fairly or unfairly. Mm-hmm. So coming out of retirement, the Courage decided to sign Jaylene Daniels, who was formerly Jaylene Hinkle. And for those who are new to WOSO, particularly the NWSL, the briefest way I can say this is Jaylene in the past has made comments that are at best disparaging of the LGBTQ community. And at best is probably a very gracious way to say that, yeah. Including going to do an interview on the 700 Club. And famously, I know.
Her whoa, I wasn't on the set.
It was in the stadium, wasn't it?
Yes, it was in the stadium, yeah, in North Carolina Stadium.
Yeah, so where that team plays, and a team, mind you, that has several queer, lesbian, however you want to put it, players on their squad. Several of whom are also of color, by the way. And caused quite a stir when she made those comments several years ago. And at the time was, you know, very much in like best 11, second best 11, decent defender, right? Got called up to the national team. So the other thing she's known for is during her time briefly on the national team, they had a pride match, and sticking to her beliefs, she decided she did not want to wear the pride numbers as a representative of the U.S. national team. Now she would tell you that cost her a spot. I would tell you other defenders coming through cost her a spot. You can debate that however you like. But yeah, she's not a lot of people's favorite person. We'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. But she's been re-signed by the North Carolina Courage to play in their defense, presumably to start. And all hell broke loose when that hit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you wanna add?
So then it was if we were to continue.
Yeah.
Like it was outcry from fans.
Sorry, my phone.
Staff. And then what was crazy is last week, the director of people?
Oh, is that what we're called? That's a weird title. Yes. The new officer is the director.
The new officer, of people. She went and did an interview. It was like, there isn't any harm to fans, but we're going to try to win them back.
Right. So I'm like, well, if you haven't lost anybody, why do you have to win them back? Or she said there's no conflict between fans, etc. And this is her second full day on the job that she did that interview.
Well, no, I don't know. I think she might have been there for a minute. But long story short, my frustration with all this is... this is what we talk about, that the league has to have accountability, training, and has to, nobody, I don't care what you look like. You could be a person of color. I don't even like saying that. You could be black. You could be brown. You could be, I don't care how much melanin you got in your system. I don't care how much marginalization is a part of your identity. You must do the fucking work and you must be held accountable for your words, thoughts, and actions. So you don't get exclusions because you black. And so I have no idea why in the world she got brought back, because who is now, you literally traded for Kiki motherfucking Pickett. Right. You have Carson Pickett. Like,
you have Abby Ersic.
You got Abby Ersic. I think they drafted another defender.
Yeah.
Like offenders, a couple of them that are really good. And it's like, where is she playing? Two, you have Abby Ersic, who is part of LGBT community.
Right.
Mayor Mathias. I can keep going to list. There's several people on the
team. Several on that team.
That are they're part of the Rainbow family. And it's like, how is this going to work?
Including arguably your best player now, right? In Dominion.
Yeah. And keep it, yeah, even, yeah. And like, keep in mind your allies and Sam Uys and Lynn Williams talked about how they regretted when they were there. They didn't speak up more because of how much harm her words caused.
Exactly. And
so it's like, what is going on? Because now all that now that positivity is gone, you're about to throw your locker room into shambles. You've got your fans hurt, staff hurt. Like, you got a lot of hurt going. And then this mad disconnectedness. Like, what are we doing? Are we trying to be great? Or are we trying to be foolish?
Right. I mean, I think not my biggest thing, I guess, right? Like, I guess my other thought process is just from a tactical standpoint, you don't need her. Like, you don't have to bring her back. So I'm not sure why her, why now. And I think that's where the fans are, right? I think there's a lot of fans who are really, really hurt and who've gone out of their way to defend this club and to show that there's work that has been done and people have grown and people would make different decisions. And it feels like all of that was for naught. With this one single decision, and I haven't seen anything from Daniels that says that her growth has happened and that she's done
the right, because even
that she even thinks there's anything wrong with what she thinks.
Yeah, because even that statement she put out, I was like, what in the non-foolishness? And I tell my people who are not part of the LGBT community, that statement she put out was not enough. And it was pretty not apologizing for her behavior, showing any kind of growth. And that's that performative fuck shit that, like, you can't be doing.
Right.
How symbolic as we're doing recording this on Dr. Martin Luther King Day.
We'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. But Speaking of, But even more crazier is they were talking about they're going to have the rainbow jerseys. They're going to do a pride night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what in the performative nonsense? Like, that pissed me off. Because it's like, you're still not acknowledging the mad hurt and damage she did.
Exactly.
Going on 700 Club. What she even said when she talked about when she directed the hate on towards the national team, but specifically targeted a player in Ashlyn Harris. Mm-hmm. Like, all this stuff had mad ramifications and caused mad pain and hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, what the fuck? And you know, for me as a Black LGBT person, this is infuriating and frustrating because people will be like, I'm pro back, blah, blah, blah. And then fuck me because I'm Black and gay. Right. And that's annoying when it's like, if you're fighting for freedom, it's not just for a portion of the community, it's everybody, or your advocacy ain't shit.
All, when we say all, we mean all.
All
Black Lives Matter, yes.
Yeah, so that means accountability is required for people, even Black people, no matter what. And you can't like let this stand. Similar to our arguments in terms of how Jill Ellis is going through unscathed for her bad behavior. Same thing here with Jalen Daniels. Same thing with old girly girl who's not playing in Portland. Like, you can't absolve things because somebody's a woman or because they're Black. Like, no, you have to hold people accountable and deal with the fuckery.
Right.
You need the training, and I need to see growth.
Right.
Particularly when it's like, why is she here? But yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's the gist of it. I'm just not sure about, even from a soccer standpoint, why she needs to come back. And then all the other stuff she brings up and the harm she's done. And I don't understand it. I don't get that. And all that goodwill is gone. And it probably cost you Sam Elis and Lynn Williams. So congratulations.
Right. As you increase ticket prices, which is crazy.
Right. So speaking of speaking of nonsense, so we've had some movement with the spirit ownership conversation.
Yes.
So the caped goddess herself.
Yep.
K. Michelle. I'm gonna call her that. I hope she's okay with that. Michelle Kane, who Michelle was Kane. The minority owner of the Washington Spirit, made a move.
After
the break, and basically, I don't speak legalese or economics that well, actually, but essentially bought up the debt of one of the other majority owners or minority owners, and with that amount became a 52% owner of the team.
Yeah, through the equity, yes.
Through the equity, and therefore is now the majority owner. There's some caveats to this that are fun and legalese, and we'll give you the links to those. There's some people on Twitter who explain this better than I ever will. But with that, there seems to be some questions about how that went down, because of course it is when a woman of color is the one that does it. And tomorrow, so we're recording this on Martin Luther King Day, so tomorrow Michelle Kang and Steve Baldwin will actually go before the Board of Governors and NWSL to kind of try to sort out exactly what's happening, because the person who was going to buy the team backed out. And that is when Kang made her move. So as of right now, technically Michelle Kang is the majority owner.
Yep.
But we have to wait and see what this league, who is not good with lawyer things, has to make choices tomorrow. And there's some people sitting on that board of governors in ownership who probably do not want to see Michelle Kang prosper, because they got their own stuff and their own dirt and their own questions.
Because this opens the door.
Yeah, opens the door. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes tomorrow. But it was fun to celebrate, you know, briefly online when Michelle pulled that move. And really, it was just more, you know, not to use hanging references, but like, she gave them the rope and they did it to themselves, essentially. So yeah, but she's just sort of like, I find it very interesting, right? Because I don't think she and I would agree at all in terms of how she does capitalism or whatever. Like, she's a venture capitalist, that's very real. She's the very thing we want to keep out of the league, right? But also, we're at a point where the bar is so low. We'll take it. One. And two, you know, she knows how to play the game, because Michelle Kang looks like that and is still at the same level as all these other white men who own teams in the NWSL. And probably more so, because she's definitely done the, here's 35 million, here's a little 10 million extra.
Just because I got it.
What was your thoughts on this?
That was flawless execution. It was beautiful. Beautiful gowns, beautiful greatness. That was phenomenal. That was amazing. And it's going to be interesting, because if you read some of the stuff in terms of what people who are in the legal realm read, what are they going to do? Because if you go to court, whether you're the Board of Governors, if she has to take you to court or Steve Baldwin wants to go to court, all that stuff has to come out that you were saying, and it really looks racist and sexist. And you're violating all kinds of stuff, that'll get you sued. And I'm like, are you, y'all sound broke, NWSL. You can't afford to go to war with her. And she went around the rules similar to, because you have to ask then, how did Steve Baldwin become able to even entertain doing stuff? And then also, he was doing things that were probably, depending on how it was worded in the contract, probably egregious and dangerous to the capacity of the franchise. So if she is now owner, she can tell him to go. Exactly. And so he did all that to be coughing and broke. And may not get a single penny. So this is hilarious.
And it is his fiduciary responsibility at some point to sell the team at a reasonable price. And so he refuses to sell a team that somebody's willing to pay $10 million overvalued for. I could argue more, because I think the 25 is probably overvaluing it.
Yes.
All in general at this point.
Yeah, how is currently executing
it? That franchise does not make money. And mind you, this is a defending champion, Washington Spirit, we're talking about. And she's laid out her plan for what she wants. She wants local investors. She wants to build facilities. She wants to protect players. Like, she's laid out an extensive plan about what she wants this team to look like and how she wants it to grow. And Steve Baldwin's done none of that. And I would imagine he doesn't own this team because he cares about women's soccer.
Right.
It's more
because how do you, because it's like you had an opportunity to get way worth the current value of the team and go on your way. Because honestly, what people don't understand, again, and we talk about this, that what she's going to invest, if she can get control of the team and do so, she will see it multiple 10 times followed with over the next few years. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you had an opportunity to make money for a team, particularly that you were, he was equal investment. He just had more power in the sense that, but because he was blocking stuff and he, and that's the other thing, you know, she tried to fund the kit, sponsorship on the kit. She tried to do a bunch of stuff through the season that, again, if they go to court, all this is going to come out. And it's like, you want to play those games? Because you're having to ask questions, what legal ramification, what legal grounds that are sound, that aren't messed up, that will actually get you screwed over even worse, that you can try to defend yourself, that prove that you had visions of greatness and logic in terms of why you didn't want to sell your team to, to Michelle Kang. And there's
and keeping in mind, right, you had an abusive coach on your watch too. Right? You fired a coach midseason. Like, the only reason you fired that coach is because the Washington Post was on your ass, right? Like, it wasn't it wasn't because you were morally compelled to do the right thing. Right. By the way, almost everybody knew about Richie Burke, and it started in the youth program. So babies were involved too, right? And again, if it's not for the bravery, and I'll say this a million times, particularly on MLK Day, of a Black player and Kyle McCullough, then we're not here. And this dude's still trying to act like his hands are what, off of it. Like, I don't understand why, outside of just sheer audacity and entitlement, you think you have the right to a team at this point.
That's a perfect segue to the next.
Oh, speaking of the audacity of white men. ESPN dropped the article. When did that article drop? Like this weekend, maybe?
Saturday,
I want to say.
It's Friday.
Friday. Of course it was. Yeah, Friday was a busy day. ESPN dropped the article about the Portland Thorns and Portland Timbers and Merritt Paulson and everything that's pretty much happened between the ownership of those organizations and their fan base since the Meg Linehan Athletic article on Manisham and Sinead Fairley dropped over, God, is that this summer? It seems like so long ago. I don't remember what time it is anymore.
Like August, September.
Yeah, something like, dang, that seems like it was yesterday. That led, of course, to protests and demands from the Players Association and all of these dominoes falling. And I don't know, do we want to paraphrase the article? We'll also post this link. It took me a minute to read it because I knew it was going to be bullshit, and it was.
It was complete bullshit.
But there's basically no accountability from Merritt, and he had Gavin Wilkinson removed as a GM for the Thorns, but not the Timbers. And the back and forth between that fan base, particularly those supporter groups who were threatening not to buy season tickets or buy concessions or giving Portland any of its money, and who are waiting on the results of the investigation that Merritt Paulson said
allegedly
launching into his own organization. And I don't know who the hell is launching this investigation, but I imagine it's somebody he knows. So I don't know how thorough that's going to be. And is basically taking a stand, I would argue, with a bit of petulance. Essentially, he doesn't think he needs the supporter group. Like, I think he's like, oh, I built this by myself, I don't need the fans.
Oh, he don't.
The fans are what you've sold forever.
Yeah, well, he said he don't need either supporter group.
Mm-hmm. He did. And I'm just like, but you've been selling that environment for a decade. Like, how you've sold Portland to players is come play in front of sellout crowds of like rabid and loyal fans who will cheer you on if you have the jersey on, period. Like, it doesn't matter. And those fans pride themselves on that. For better or for worse, people have all sorts of feelings about Portland fans, rightly and wrongly. But when I think of Portland, particularly the Thorns, right, I don't pay as much attention to the Timbers, admittedly, but you think about those, the fan base first. Like, it's not think about the players that have come through that team, but you think about the fan base. Again, fans, that's what you sell. You're selling the Providence Park experience is what you're selling. And I just think it's an incredible show of entitlement on his part to think that none of that's necessary and that he built it on his own and that nobody else had anything to do with it. So you can read it for yourself. I believe it's Caitlin Murray's article, and it's for ESPN now. But yeah, it's a mess, and I imagine the players feel the way too.
Yeah, it's audacity of white men again. I don't understand what he's thinking. I didn't have words. Like, you do know that when the Sounders came and played there?
Yeah, maybe.
And it was like more Sounders fans than Timber fans. And so, like, you know, even the last Thorns game wasn't as packed as it usually was. Mm-hmm. Like, you saying something like this, you could have a very empty stadium and it's going to be a white crowd chilling and putting up feet at your Providence stadium. You're going to be really in your feelings. And like,
empty.
Yeah, it's going to be empty. And everybody can support watching the game on TVs.
Right.
You know, and make you go broke.
And you don't, and I would argue now is the worst time to take this approach, right? Because the rival to the north, right, now going to play in Lumen, right? They have the capacity, they have the names and the players, they can compete with you on a week-to-week basis. And your other closest teams are going to be the California squads who have money, who one has a soccer-only facility, like, with names and their player first and all these other things. Like, this is the worst time to lean into the bullshit would be my argument.
And even if people felt moved, they want to support Kansas City. Like, what are you doing?
For a myriad of reasons, right? People are going to follow players. They like, people are going to latch on to new teams. Like, this is a time where people have been really hurt by the clubs they support. And so they don't mind going somewhere else, spending their money somewhere else, rooting for someone else. And I'm like, being Portland isn't enough anymore. And you're not going to bully people into giving you their money. And I think the only way you're going to hurt Merritt Paulson is to mess with his money.
Yep. That's what you got to do.
So we'll see how this saga continues to play out. It's ongoing. We still don't have any information. And this is on top of, by the way, the Thorns saying, because we forgot to mention this, they're the first pick that they made in the NWSL draft this year will not be playing for the Portland Thorns in 2022. Look up Sydney Nocello. I don't have the energy right now to go over all the reasons why
she should and the probably moral, not be playing. And the moral of that story is, please, all you lock your Twitters, also scrub your Twitters, and then teams, do your research and do your homework, because the WOSO FBI will do it for you.
Because let me tell you something, nobody can find stuff quicker than WOSO fans, man.
Yeah, they found it all immediately.
Yeah. Swiftly. Like, and I mean, like, this isn't that, she was like 12 and made some wild tweets. Like, these are recent tweets, and they're racist, homophobic, xenophobic, transphobic, like
fascist,
like, just checking all the boxes. So,
and again, as a league, you need to have accountability so that you hold your current players accountable and future wannabe players accountable. Like, there's no if banner that she never should have made through the screening process.
No,
that she never should have been drafted a thought
and
because of that.
And the truth of the matter is, we're in a time period in history now where, you're going to have to check the social media of the people coming out of college. That's just me.
Also, okay. Horror story. Lock your thing.
It's nonsense. Okay.
Can we talk about coach first. No, let's read the coach first and then do the other one and then go into that last thing.
Okay. So, speaking of teams, we both here quite like Kansas City. I think they've made a lot of really good moves. They obviously decided to invest in players and facilities. They're a fairly diverse squad. They drafted well. However, the last piece missing was the coach. They have now hired, last name is Potter. I don't remember his first name right now.
Matt?
I'm going to say that. That sounds right. We might be incorrect. We'll look it up and be correct later. Was previously the coach of the U23 squad. However, they didn't actually play because of COVID. So he got that job fairly recently.
And then where did he play before then?
He's in Oklahoma before.
Oh,
and then before Oklahoma, he was in Washington State. He has never coached a pro club. And his college record is pretty average. I know he's coached clubs at the youth level. I know that there are a few players that have played for him at that level. I think it's a rather interesting hire by Kansas City. It very much feels like a somebody knows somebody hire versus a this is the guy we've got to have hire. We'll see. I think that team's loaded enough for anybody who's fairly competent. That team's probably going to be fine. As long as you don't set up a formation to sort of hinder the talent that you have.
Set up to 505.
Yeah. Which I don't think they'll do. But that squad's loaded. That front office seems to be willing to invest and spend money. They have money to spend. They're going to be in Children's Mercy's Park this year, maybe next year, as they build their training facility and stadium exclusively for the current, because that's their name now. And so no more baseball fields for either of them or OL Reigns. So that's very exciting. But yeah, I'm just a little baffled by that choice, particularly because it has been said that plenty of qualified women applied for that job or put out feelers for that job and did not get that job. So, I mean, it begs the question. I think the league is now tilted back to, if it's not split between men and non-men, it's pretty much tilted toward white male coaches again, with keeping in mind Chicago did not have a coach at the time. At the moment.
Oh, so, that's true.
Sort of hangings in the balance with them. But yeah, it's just a strange hire. I don't know anything about him. I know Washington State probably got better after he left. A lot of our success has been more recent, since like 2012, 2013. But yeah, I'm just a little baffled by the hire. It just seems like same old, same old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no comment.
Yeah.
How?
But we did this want to
mention it. I will say this. This what you know. My bad. This who you know versus what you know. Think people try to push is very white. Yeah. White focused and bullshit.
Right.
Because I hate when I see this in my engineering realm. Because you get people who aren't necessarily the best fit for a job, particularly because they don't have the knowledge.
Right.
And you get them in spaces where you really need to be, you need to have somewhat of experience. You need to have the qualified approach at minimal if you don't, because you got grown women you're coaching and y'all should be going to the playoffs. And so if he doesn't do this well and you then pass him over because you was dapping somebody up and getting the homeboy in over some qualified women's coaches, y'all ain't ever gonna hear the end of this shit. Because Kansas City had no business not being in the playoffs last year. They definitely not going to have no business not being in the playoffs this year. So, okay, Kansas, looking at you.
Yeah, I think for all of the good sort of work that they've done, that feels very like anticlimactic hire. But like I said, we'll see what the team actually looks like. Because it should be pretty hard to mess that team up. But
yeah.
Again, we say things like that, and then it happens.
Hey, the Colts are no longer in the playoffs when you never thought.
Exactly.
The Cowboys, we'll get there later.
Yeah, save it for the end.
All right.
So the last bit of nonsense, this came out today. So, hey, look at us being a day late and this working out. So today were the FIFA awards for men's and women's soccer. And I believe Lewandowski won for the men as best player. Alexi Putellas won as FIFA best player of the year. However, I'm going to read off to you the FIFA Pro Women's World 11 for 2021.
Voted by the players, by the way.
Yes, this is the players exclusive one, right? This is not the same as the FIFA best 11, which is players, captain, media. And coaches are involved as well. Okay, so the FIFA Pro 11. Christiane Endler is goalkeeper. I'm not reading this in groups, but Wendy Renard, Lucy Bronze, Millie Bright, Magdalena Eriksson as defenders. Barbara Bonasea, Estefania Bonini, Carly Lloyd as your midfielders. And then Vivian Miedema, Alex Morgan, and Marta as your forwards. Okay. I don't even know what to do with this. Okay, so a few things. Good God. There are a few people who I think make sense on here, right? Endler, to me, is the best goalkeeper in the world and has been for a while. I think Wendy Renard is probably always one of the best defenders, but she was hurt a lot this year. And yeah, France so did not sense. Play in a major tournament. So
right.
I think there's conversations to be had. Lucy Bronze was also very hurt this year and did not play a ton. And I don't think she played a ton for England in the Olympics.
Did she even play? I don't think she played.
I don't know if she played at all. I'll give you Millie Bright and Magdalena Eriksson, right? I'm sure the Barcelona defenders would like a word.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't give them that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, okay. Midfield. Like, how are we defining midfield?
Right.
Because when did Carly Lloyd play in the midfield?
Right, and how? She was in the midfield for club, but she was not. Yes, for club, she was in midfield.
She was a nine, I thought.
She was nine, and she was dropped into the midfield.
Okay.
And that is part of the issue.
Okay.
Oh, let's cut the bullshit. How I do not understand when we got players on here who weren't best for their club, let alone country.
Or country.
Existing in the best 11. It's like, what are we doing? Because, like, we're just voting. And
I don't understand how Patelis isn't on here. Kerr isn't on here.
Yeah.
Banda's not on here.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on.
It makes sense because white media, this is part of the issues of white media. Media that is largely white in WOSA,
mm-hmm.
not giving legitimate shine to various players across different leagues.
Right.
That's part of the issue. So you only see a lot of people out of Europe. And then two, what are popular names? And if they're from the United States, mm-hmm. just based on popularity of names, because Alex Morgan wasn't the best forward on her team.
No.
Marta wasn't the best forward, wasn't even playing forward for her.
No, she played midfield most of the year.
She played midfield, so this is wild. Carla wouldn't be the best midfielder or forward on her team. Or country, please. It's just like, this makes no sense.
It doesn't make any, like, there's no logic behind this, right? I could lean into Bonacia and Bonini. At least they went to Spain and Italy this time.
Even Viv, I get it.
I could also argue outside of the Olympics. This is actually down. Yes. Certainly is this.
Well, currently, yes, that has been a part of the Arsenal struggle bus.
So there's that, but
okay. I can see how she's on the list. Yeah. I can see how she's on the list.
Right. However, I can see the last year, yeah.
But again, this is coming back to players. Like, if you're gonna vote, like, this can't be just a popularity contest.
Right.
And somebody sent a tweet basically like, it ain't that hard to just basically just Google stats on people. And you see how none of this makes sense, because how Alexis Putellas is not on there is crazy. But she won the best award. Like, what? It's so, there's levels to this where it's like, are we doing the research? Are we doing the work? But then so as much crap as I'm gonna give players, flip side, media is not helping, because you're not communicating and giving players legitimate spotlight, so on and so forth.
Right, and what media gets
at any levels,
and just for a myriad of reason, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, right? The vast majority of WOSO media that gets to make these decisions is white media, right? Like, you're not talking to the media that covers the CAF or the AFC or even other parts of CONCACAF or Common Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not. Yeah. In other words, you're not bringing in the media that covers the vastly brown and black teams, right? And players, and who would have more access to those. I don't see those people getting votes. I don't see those people being called on. I don't see those people joining shows or writing, you know, getting their articles published about the players that they have in their own backyard, essentially. And it's just very limiting. And I think it's hard to ask players to watch a ton of football when they're playing it. Like, I get that. So I don't know if you have to do it regionally, you know, like, who are the 11 best in your country or something like that. I don't know if there's a tweak there, but the system is flawed and it's a joke. And we said that last year. And I don't think people were listening in the same way. And then this year, people that are really adored and beloved aren't on this list. And now people are like, oh, this is a joke. So welcome.
Glad you could join us. Yeah, because we've been talking about how Black players have been screwed over for years.
Right.
Welcome, guys.
Yeah, so it is a joke. Like, we agree. So, yeah, I mean, I think you just kind of have to chuckle at these awards. And I know I said earlier, I know Wendy Renard is real tired of being the Black player. Y'all give awards.
Right, the token Black person.
Like, seriously, she's got to be exhausted. Bless her. And, well, I guess that's a good little teaser. So how do we want to do this? Because this is going to lead into what we want to tell the people, right?
Well, no, it's going to be, yes, and then we're going to take a break. But this, okay. Yes, do your little spill.
Okay. This is just a little teaser. We're working on other outlets to express ourselves, but I think one of the things that we're going to tackle, particularly in upcoming episodes, but a teaser here, is white feminism and how it sort of permeates the league and all of the, like, all of the decisions that are made and why this league looks the way it looks. So I need to state, most of the feminism that's performed is white feminism, and that's not good for anybody, including white women.
Whoa, take a second. Wait, pause. Before we go here, let's talk about what's triggering this portion here. So,
I mean, there's so many things.
So we've been having conversations. So there's a purpose, there's a reason we haven't talked about the rants and raves. My bad. The ranting about the crypto.com deal with Angel City or the NFT.
Yeah.
My bad. Or the Voyager deal with the league. Hold on. With the league. But then also talking about the reactionary behavior towards things like what teams get fined and don't get fined, and why certain teams haven't gotten fined, but other teams conveniently have gotten fined.
Whose voice you're listening to, who gets to remain a victim.
Yeah.
Like how harm is seen, right? Uh-huh. Who is seen as harmed and who is not. Who people are willing to defend and who they are not. Who you've bought into the league, all of that.
All that comes back to part of why we haven't talked about it, because we have our whole separate diatribes that we'll get into over the course of multiple episodes. But it comes back to the white feminism. All right, now go.
Yeah, and I, like, again, it is not based solely in disagreement, right? Like, I have many issues with, okay, how the money, the fake money, whatever the fuck is coming into the league. Like, I don't particularly want that here either. And also, I'm of the mindset that, no, I don't want the dude bros here, but I need white women and white feminists in particular to understand that y'all aren't any safer than the dude bros. Like, I'm not safer with you than I am with them. They just harm me in a different way. And so the idea that this space is now something that needs to be protected from harm being done lets me know that y'all didn't see all the harm that was being done to Black and Brown fans anyway. And I'm also thinking, just in terms of as we go along, I'm going to address anti-Blackness in WOSO, and I mean everywhere in WOSO. Yes, your country. Yes, your players. Yes, your team. Yes, you. Yes, you. Like, I don't, nobody's exempt from that conversation. Yeah, y'all too. Yes, that team too. And just how it's sort of rearing its head, not even sort of rearing its head, how it's rearing its head and how people's reaction to certain things in terms of players that they pay attention to, leagues that they pay attention to, issues that affect us, right, that are never talked about from our point of view, where you don't actually ask Black and Brown players, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I think, and it's also very interesting, right, again, I think we're both big on, like, yes, we would like Michelle King to buy the team simply because she has a plan, and how she's gotten to this point ain't pretty, and the money's dirty, and, like, it's complicated, particularly when you're a woman of color, but it's also not lost on me that a whole lot of you were looking for a woman of color to save some shit. Right, with a cape on. Like, it's not lost on me, because y'all know y'all not gonna do it. And even looking at, Marla Messing and some of the decisions she's made in the past couple of weeks, or hasn't made, an old girl from North Carolina Courage talking about, we're not harming fans, but we need to win fans back. that kind of stuff. Like, or, you know, standing up to power, but there has been a lot in the past and even now of not my billionaire, right?
Yeah.
It's everybody else's team. It's everybody else's stuff. And mm-hmm. It's just not. And I don't know. I feel like it's going to take several episodes or whatever else we're going to do to address it. And I think we just have to keep speaking on it. But I'm also really exhausted some days. And I don't know how else to say it. And it's, again, it's y'all too. It's the nice ones. It's the ones doing the work, because the work means you're going to mess up and you're going to do harm mm-hmm. and you're unlearning, right? It's going to be uncomfortable. I need people to get used to that. It's going to be uncomfortable if you're doing the work.
Yeah. So yeah, welcome to being Black on a day-to-day basis.
Right. I think some of it too is, yeah, this anger, this rage, it's like, the space isn't safe. And I'm just looking at y'all like, where y'all been? Yeah,
right. Because, like, even if we want to briefly talk about, even for me talking about this, so I work in the tech industry. I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm. And so all these NFTs, cryptocurrency things, like, I have my own perspective as a Black person in the space.
Yeah.
Having several Black friends be successful and lose money with it. Yeah. And no matter what, all saying, hey, people need to disrupt the space because people are taking this fake money and acquiring assets. I mean, again, crypto.com is now the name of, hold on, it's the name of the Lakers, where the Lakers play, Staples. And so you need to think about for 20 years, how much it costs for multiple millions, probably approaching billions of fake money equivalent asset exchange to get that. Mm-hmm. It's not going nowhere. And the technology behind it, if you know about it, actually, it's pretty novel, and you've got to kind of aggregate what is being said. But what has disturbed me in a lot of these arguments, though, and I'm going to get into this in more depth in a future date, is that when the more you know, the more you learn, because I know a lot of stuff based on the stuff that I do, you're like, so what are y'all arguing about, and who's arguing, and why? Because this does come back full circle to when we talk about gentrification. And I said this before online, where for years, people, particularly in California, have been talking about gentrification does harm to your communities. And like, people don't give a fuck if, you know, you're moving to this up and coming community that never was up and coming. You had culture there, but, you know, trying to increase rent prices to get the Black and brown people up out of there so that you feel comfortable for your Whole Foods and your Starbucks and your other white type approved establishments. You know, in the process, you end up making the cost of living go up. And then we have issues with wages and places to live. And so then you get full circle to where you're talking about, how do I make more money when wages are stagnating? It's hard to acquire capital. And you have something novel like this appear on top of the switch and change of how, you know, we're doing a podcast where you're talking about how you do something digitally, virtually. Even like if you're going to go work for DoorDash, work for Uber, you know, how do you make sure you get adequately paid and compensated for what you do in terms of work for a digital transaction? Mm-hmm. All that's coming back to all this, that you got to start asking questions like, who's putting narratives out there? But then on the flip side, how are we getting upset and angry, but picking and choosing when we get angry and it coming from a white place, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of it feels like, to me, I think, again, I share some of the opposition, but I feel, and I know my feelings don't trump facts, but I feel a lot of the time, it's just a lot of the white people in the space arguing with one another. And I'm just like, none of that has to do with me. And right. So I'm trying to look at it from that lens, and that lens, just the lens that we look at things through, doesn't exist in this space, or rather isn't given space to speak out in this space, or say, not to do, you know, oppression Olympics, but it feels a little weird that this is the thing. And again, legitimately, but there's other things doing harm to Black and brown folks that people have not been nearly as vocal about. And so,
and involving the environment.
Right. And then like, right. And also just right. Like, my people are Geechee. Like, we could have a whole conversation about that and how that land's disappearing and all of this, you know, other stuff, right. Or like you said, gentrification and what that looks like, or a big reason Chicago's usually in the space that it's in is because of unfair and racially discriminatory housing practices and how long that's been going on, right? That's how Donald Sterling made his money and was able to buy the Clippers, right? So when I'm telling you, like, the dirty money's always been here and we just pick and choose what we choose to look. Like, listen, I'm trying to walk this line because I write for my team, but you think I'm asking how we're paying for Lumen? I don't want to know. Like, and I'm willing to own that, right? Like, I want to go to the game in Lumen. So I'm probably not going to ask the questions that if you ask, you're going to find out, like, morally, you might be in a sticky situation, right? And so I think as sports fans in particular, we're always making those compromises. We're always doing those dances. And I'm really lost as to why people thought women's sports would be different.
Yeah.
Right? Like that somehow because women play a sport that the morals are going to align somehow. And I'm here to tell you the master's wife is as shitty as the master.
Well, then. Whoa.
And that was a fact. There's a lot of mishands. So yeah, that's sort of my take on that. But like I said, we're coming with some new stuff to talk about these things more because we can ramble a little bit on here. So
not yet, because we're gonna have to go to a break. But all that to say, this is a shortened version of what will be written pieces.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll filter their way through episodes because the announcement of one of many, we got a website. That will launch that when you're listening to this podcast.
Yes.
In theory, it should be live.
Yes, that's
the one. Or will be live soon. We also have a link tree that has the link to all our to Audio Boom, to Spotify, to Apple's, to anything, most things, to this website. You have it. It's on our profiles.
Yes.
It's on the show's profiles on the Twitter and on the IG. And you'll see that soon. In various sections. So
surprise.
Other than that, we need to take a break because we gotta pay some bills. But
we'll be back with the good stuff.
We'll be back.
Happy New Year from the Four Dickers Podcast, soccer podcast for us, by us. In our first episode of 2022, we're joined by fellow Culture Works member and the writer of the Soccer She Wrote blog, Mara Lee. We talk about her recent move from Scotland to Denmark, the differences between food in those two countries, basketball and soccer, all the traditions, and more. Join me, Grego, Silves, and Yogi on your favorite podcast apps on the FTC UTD YouTube channel at 2centsfc.com.
Oh, but it is time for hits and riffs, though.
Given the hits and riffs, the instrumentals that I got.
Hey, my hits and riffs. I'm going first.
Yeah,
my hits and riffs are of the of the Miami bassful, Atlanta bass music, and not this. Okay, well, first, let's quick history lesson. So, techno comes from Black music.
Yes.
Particularly out of Detroit and Chicago with house techno. And so all that had flavor and sauce to it. And then it got co-opted and gentrified. So when I talk the bass music we're talking, when I'm talking about this kind of bass music, I'm talking about Miami and Atlanta bass music, twerk them. Well, you could twerk, but you, not only can you twerk, but you can dance, you can skate, you can roller skate. I used to roller skate in the day. Like that ATL movie with the T.I., like that's real, like that. I grew up in that actual skating rink, actually, Cascade. That was actually my skating rink. Okay. But anyway, so I was feeling, I have been on my bass kick, playing the bass around the Los Angeles streets. But let's see, my turn up. So my yesterday, it ain't even gonna be yesterday. It's yesterday, today, it's every day.
Okay.
But my turn up is Black Pack, Scrub the Ground. So round and round we go, round and round. Let me just say, scrub the ground. I would have did that's Trick Daddy and Uncle Luke.
Wow. Wow.
But I can't find the edited version.
I also don't know if the children, I don't even know if we should be playing that on him. Okay. Like, I'm just going to be really real.
Well, I mean, this is a twerking classic. Oh. Okay. So you want to get the, that's what I said, you want to get the edited version to have the explicit version available on the. And that's a very different version.
Yeah.
But that's still fire. You could get it in on the dance floor, but you also could get it in on some skates. Okay. As in you could have fun, you could party. In terms of my quiet storm, When Can I See You Smile Again? It's the bass version though, off the So Def All Star mixtape, the bass mixtape joints.
Okay.
I think it's two or three. But with Ricky Bell, can I see you smile again?
So kids, Ricky Bell is one third of Bill Biv.
One third of Bill Biv. Yeah, BBD. My bad. that's my that's my joint. Okay. What's good?
All right. I'll keep mine brief. Oh man. All right. So my yesterday turn up. He's so fucking problematic. But
I don't know why you got him on here, but go ahead.
I mean, I could just say Estelle. I have American Boy by Estelle. Somebody else is in that song. I don't like talking about him right now. But I do love that song, and I do love Estelle, who is also, shout out, this is she Garnet on Steven Universe, which is a solid show. I recommend it highly. And then my yesterday quiet storm is My Kind of Love by Emily Sade. We haven't heard from recently.
Yeah,
but that was a good one.
Okay, see you out here.
Yeah.
All right. So, in continuing of my bass tradition, actually, I'm gonna start with a quiet storm first. So, the Tate Quiet Storm is not released today. It's Summertime by Karina, but it's again the So So Def All Star Bass Edition.
Okay.
Summertime, or Esperanto. If I can't do the, is that what? I can't do the Espanol version. They got the Espanol, they got the English. It's fire. You can get the okay. And then the other one is Freak It by Latham. Now, true to life. Now, see, the casual listener would go, that's a twerkum song. But there is a line dance to that, baby, that you dance to, and it can be like, it can freak it like it do, do. You could get to the left, to the right, kick. Also, that was a skate jam too. Like, people think skating was for play. Like, you had not
black folks take skating seriously.
It's serious. Like, don't be out there if you're gonna be falling. Just get your skates off and scoot yourself to the center and dance in the center without no skates. But if you're gonna be skating, you have to know how to skate and dance and get to it. Like, it's real out here in the streets. So shout out to my skaters, my roller skaters.
Not good enough to be like.
I used to hit backflips.
Roll back.
When I was younger, I used to hit backflips. Yeah. Backflips without a helmet. My mother was ready to kill me when I did it in some Barbie skates.
Doing a lot. Okay.
Because a boy said I couldn't backflip, and I had to let him know that you ain't gonna embarrass me in front of these girls. Oh, anyway, yeah.
All right.
My bad.
You're good.
I've evolved.
You have. And no, I respect, because skating is hard as hell. So I'm always...
It's not hard. You just got to get the balance. Once you get the balance, then you feel the move, and then it's like you skating and you vibing.
I'm better on my feet than in skates. I'm not... Any skates. Ice skates. Roller skates.
Pop. Okay. All right. I'm done. All right.
Minor... Okay. I'll go in order, because I know the earworm is coming. But My Quiet Storm is After Last Night by Silk Sonic.
It's
a good song. It's a grown folk song.
So who are you trying to get?
Thick and pretty is what he said. That's hilarious.
Wow, who are you trying to get?
No one. I can't. Can I listen to an album?
And no, I see you out here. Okay.
I'm single. Stop.
Single.
I'm very single. Don't do that. And then my Today turn up isn't really a turn up. And I thought I would be above the song being stuck in my head. This is a damn
wow.
And I know his politics ain't for everybody, but damn if Lin-Manuel Miranda can't write a fucking song. So my turn up is We Don't Talk About Bruno. That shit hits. I don't care. He did it with that soundtrack. That soundtrack is lit. Surface Pressure. Cool. Yeah, Surface Pressure is always also that girl. It's a good soundtrack. He did that. Like, I've been singing that song nonstop. I thought I'd be above it because everybody was like, oh, it's stuck in my head. I'm like, I'm better than that. I am not better than that, y'all. I'm not. It goes, though. So I highly recommend it. It will get stuck in your head, though. So be careful.
All right. So let's get to some rants.
Okay. You want to go first? Because you...
No, you go first because then right. I can slide into the right.
I'm going to keep it brief. All right.
Okay.
I said this on Twitter, but I'm going to say it verbally here. Can y'all let MLK rest?
Well,
please. That man is dead and tired. And just the worst people on earth are out here putting out MLK quotes. It's so bad. Like, it's just, this can't be what he wanted. It can't be. Because he wanted poor people not to be poor anymore. He didn't want to go to war. And he wasn't a particular fan of capitalism. And he wanted racial equality, but he also knew Black people could determine their own fate. He was a radical. He just believed in nonviolence.
Right.
And he didn't always believe in nonviolence. Once upon a time, Barry Rustin had to talk him into giving up his gun. Like, know your history. I'll go all day on this. So yeah, but when I see, you know, people voting against the Voter Rights Act, quoting Martin Luther King, the FBI talking about some happy MLK day, yeah, it's easy. Like, what are y'all doing? Y'all responsible. Like, what are we doing right now?
You got U.S. soccer quoted.
I'm just like, y'all do everything all year long to be against Black folk and then quote Martin Luther King. I can't. And on this day, and I know I saw Bernice King make a lovely post about her mother, but this is also a day to honor Coretta because she did the work for damn near 50 years afterwards, and she kept his legacy alive. Mm-hmm. And she sued the Alphabet Boys and won, by the way. Quietness is kept. That's part of why we have MLK Day. And so, yeah, Coretta was about that life. Coretta was also very much an ally for LGBTQ folks because she said, ain't no revolution if the least, you know, if everybody amongst us.
Come on!
So she was about that life. So I just want to let that man rest. Two, we would know what Martin Luther King thought about things that happened today if y'all didn't kill him. And three, uplift Coretta because this is just as much about her as it is about Martin, and the women of the movement do not get enough love or respect. So,
and if you don't pull quotes, like, can you read all his speeches? Because y'all be just pulling.
Start with Letter to Birmingham Jail. We're gonna put that on.
Yeah, start there. Start there, and then go deeper.
Or letter from.
Because y'all will cut up I Have a Dream speech and use what you want, and then so shout out to Nicole Hannah Jones.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Went in, who had to do a speech today. And she shook the whole audience with people who were trying not to have her do the speech with some MLK quotes that they didn't know. And yeah, please do the research, do your work, and understand who this man was.
Yeah.
Like, don't get it twisted. Stop bullshitting white people in particular. And non-Black POC. Like, please stop. Please. But anyway, my turn around.
Yeah. Get off your chest.
I went to Georgia Tech. So it was a sad day last Monday.
Last Monday, yeah.
Other people in the SEC might be sad too. Thank God I no longer live in Atlanta, but that team in Athens won a championship. So
wow, that team in Athens. Wow.
I mean, it's nice for them to have a championship.
I can attest to Sky was not. Yeah, that was a rough night for her. She was not happy about it.
And then I got a deal, and then I have to record a podcast tomorrow, or one of the fans is gonna let me know about it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's nice of it. We're never going to hear the end of it. I get it. This is a one chance to get it, so enjoy it.
Wow.
Georgia Tech, please just like just be a college football team next year.
Wow.
But SEC, please get your shit together. Please let this be the last one.
Okay.
Bama. And the part of my rant is now Alabama's gonna smoke everybody because yeah, they got embarrassed.
That's probably
this is one of the things. However, this leads us to a rave. Because just when I thought this was the year, because all these teams that had no business winning championships, or they did because they were better. Hey, Braves. They ended up winning championships. You know who came through for the rave of the week? Well, one of the raves.
Mm-hmm.
Is the San Francisco 49ers stop the Cowboy invasion from invading in Los Angeles. Now, some people might say that is not a rant. It is a rant because I live here in Los Angeles and there's so many freaking Cowboys fans that were ready to tell me how bad my Falcons suck, how the Cowboys are going to be here and putting stars all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they train in Oxnard that is like an hour or two above Los Angeles. It's so late. They was ready to show up deep, but the Niners came through and saved us. In true Cowboy fashion, they fumbled that game away and it was glorious.
That last play was hysterical.
Shout out to, I don't think you really be shouting him out like that. Stephen A. Smith, true Cowboys hater.
Oh,
my boy, Shannon Sharp.
Also a Cowboys hater. Yes.
Yes. Shout out to y'all for holding it down, for letting it known. Shout out to all the Cowboy homies who was in my inboxes, who's saying it's the refs. Nah, y'all just sorry. Y'all two are on the couch with us. So I'm excited. That was a rave. And the other rave goes to who?
Oh, Uchenna Kanu.
Woo!
Scored a goal tonight. It's already starting for two guys.
Okay, out here.
And is that celebration now? Like top or so celebration?
That's up there. That's fire. Actually,
they hit a coordinated dance today.
Yeah, and that was all on Beatin' in Sync. It was swag just surfing Persona 5. It wasn't white river rafting. It wasn't paddle boating. It was all on beat. It was beautiful.
It was. And it was just like, clearly they had practiced. Everybody was on the two and the four. It was great. Because there's a bunch of black and brown folks dancing. Coordinated. Like, it did my heart good. And I would just like to see more of that.
I actually, when I do play it on these channels, can we not show the dances? Because they actually do this a lot in Liga and Mackey Seminole.
Yeah.
They have like different dances if they want to or whatever. It's like fun. That's how soccer should be, man. I can't wait. That needs to be stateside. I need to be at the game being like, hey.
Straight up joy in that. It's a fun. It's a sport. It's a game.
It's sport. It's fun.
Enjoy it.
You get paid to have fun. It's supposed to be a litty situation. Whole stadium was rocking.
Right.
Until that other thing.
And just want to give a quick shout out to the homie Michaela, aka Super Macario World, aka the biggest kind of Macario fan. For getting in the bio steal game. I was like, hey, look at that.
Yeah. In a bio steal game after getting kits from Katarina, out here.
Yeah, I see you. One of the best fans we know. So just truly happy for her. I thought that was cool. For sure. You know, that's Black Excellence. We're here for it.
Excellence.
So I think we're about to wrap it up.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up. So shout outs.
To the fam. So can I kick it?
Yogi. Can I kick it? Yogi.
For the culture.
All 50 billion of y'all people.
Right. I'm like, damn, that's
Tony, TK. Chad.
Gregor Richard.
Gregor.
I know we're missing people. I feel really bad.
All y'all. All y'all people.
Y'all know who y'all are. Y'all real deep as hell. Kaya.
What? Kaya. McCullough.
Shout out. I know new apps are coming soon, but also she's out here changing the world, literally. Yeah. So take your time.
Do what you do. Out here. And also dodging the Marion. Like Lil' Kim. Like Yo, is that dance from when is that from the Mobb Deep joint?
Oh wow.
Yeah, is it that dance that you know we should be
wow. Oh man, I know exactly what you
thought. Quiet Storm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Quiet Storm.
He probably started. Did you start doing dance too?
That's one of my hits one week. Yeah, Quiet Storm.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that was. It's the real hip hop. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
And then of course the two cents
L
L Chris. Ty, brother Ty.
Ty.
Yeah.
All y'all, just, loose change. All y'all. All y'all people.
Oh, Mariah.
Yes.
Jory.
Yes. Got to do an episode of Mariah. So that was really cool.
Yeah, that was fire.
Yeah, it was cool.
See, Mariah talks about how, like, I used to do that as a goalkeeper. I used to play basketball like that.
Basketball. I thought that was
even
really cool.
Even at five short height I was.
Yes.
Players used to hate playing me as a goalkeeper because I would actually act like I was on defense in basketball and cut off angles. Exactly. So they would have to like shoot balls from far out to hit the angle where I couldn't get to it. But yeah, that's real. And then also the homies in the chat, that's for United. Yeah, y'all were quiet this weekend because Chelsea lost.
Okay. All right.
Only the men
played. The women haven't played in like a month and some change. Like, we're never gonna play again, apparently. That's probably because we have a FA Cup.
Got an FA Cup. You got a Sippy Cup this week.
Finally playing a game. We literally, and yet we're gaining ground in the league. So hey, whatever. I'm fine.
Okay.
Appreciate you, Birmingham City.
to the hardworking Americans at Diaspora United, we see y'all. Much love.
Game changers in Paris.
Because we're.
We forgot to talk about that.
Dang. We'll talk about that later.
Man.
Please be careful of your graphics.
Graphic design.
Ask the people who are not white. What does that look like?
Please. That's all we ask. All right, let's get out of here.
The hard work. Oh, yeah. So, this episode, we have something special coming next episode. Wink, wink, hint, hint. Yes. Also, we got a website. Also, do we need to shout out who's running our social media?
Yeah, let's give a shout out to the newest member here.
Hey, Nubia. What's good?
Yeah, the young sib, Nubia, is helping us olds, as they would say, with our social media. So,
old heads. We appreciate
you. We are welcoming them to the team, and they're doing great work. So
appreciate you.
That link tree is all them, so we appreciate it. We want to bring people with us, always. So, so welcome to the team, Nubia. So let's go ahead and get out of here.
All right, so we got to stay hydrated.
Oh, yeah, stay melanated.
And make sure the Black women in your life are always celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And good week, good blessings. Actually, we will see you soon. Wink, wink. Yeah. Nod, nod.
We'll be back soon with a special treat.
All right.
Peace out.